We're in Romans 8, verses 1 through 11. We're going to, again, slow down our pace and look at various sections of Romans 8 because each one is so significant in terms of application of what Paul has been stressing in these first seven chapters. Now, I'm not going to do the review like I did last week, but I'm going to remind you that last week's lesson was entitled War. And it was when Paul was explaining, it became very personal, describing the struggle within him about his desire to do what is good and right and obey God, and then his frustration in seeing that he didn't always do that. Now, I also got a good lesson in people who had superscriptions over paragraphs in their versions, because when I announced that the topic was war and they looked at their Bibles, it said marriage. They really got their hopes up about that. But that's not what we're going to cover. And today, we're actually going to be explaining what the war means. Paul described this struggle, this battle that was within him, and he ends up with this cry out to God, who can save me from this? And he ends it, verse 25, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Now we get into chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. And let's come to the Lord and ask for his guidance as we look at this. Father, believing in you in many ways is a simple thing, a childlike trust. And yet the ramifications of that, the interaction between a new heart and an old heart, is something that we struggle with throughout our lives. Grant, Lord, that we understand your truth in a new way as we look at this scripture and as your Spirit applies it into our personal lives. Change us, Father. Make us more like your Son, Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Romans 8, verses 1 through 11. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And we're going to pause right there, the first eight verses. Now, I will confess to you, as I was preparing this lesson, I read through this introductory paragraph in chapter 8, and I kept having this thought in the back of my mind, wait a minute, something is different. Something is not right here. Because in reading this, as it's translated in the Bible, we have the English Standard Version, it talks about the flesh. And the flesh is described as something that is evil. The flesh is described as something to be shunned. And immediately my mind went back to, no, wait. In the creation, God made us in his image. And this body that he has made, male and female, was made in his image. And it was not an evil thing. And even with the fall, the sin of Adam and Eve, it changed the effects upon the body, but the body is still created in the image of God, and God pronounced it very good when he made it. So what's the deal? Aha! This is your Greek lesson for the day. The word that is translated flesh in the New English Bible, or English Standard Version that we have, is sarx. We would put in English phonetics, S-A-R-K-S, sarx. It does mean flesh, but in looking it up in a lexicon, I found there are actually seven different shades of meaning to that one Greek word. And if you go to another translation, like the New International Version of this, it reads totally different, because flesh, sarx, is not translated as flesh that we tend to think of, but as sinful nature. And in my book, the NIV gets the award, because the actual word is there, but what it conveys to us in our modern day is contrary to what the rest of Scripture teaches. So if you read these first eight verses again, and when you come across the word flesh, you simply put in sinful nature, it fits. It works. That's what Paul is trying to get across. He is talking about the nature that is within us, the old nature, not about our tangible bodies that are made in the image of God. What Paul is talking about as he begins to describe the war that he told us was going on within him, and we know goes on with us, is there is spiritual life or there is spiritual death. This is separate from the tangible feet, bones, muscle, tissue. There is an old nature and there is a new nature. There's an old heart and a new heart. There's a sinful nature and there's a nature given to us by the Holy Spirit of God. This is the truth that Paul is beginning to emphasize now in chapter 8. As he stresses this, he also lets us know, reminds us, that it is the Holy Spirit who brings that new nature into us. We do not have that pure, godly, seeking after God's will nature within us to begin with because of sin. But with the gift of the Holy Spirit, that has been changed, and God's Spirit is available to all who will come to Him in Jesus Christ, and we are given a new heart. That's one of those passages that always has stood out to me in the Old Testament. We talked about it this morning a little bit in the sermon that Richard was giving, a wonderful message about waiting and Samuel and Saul. But when Saul was first called to be the king, Scripture tells us he was given a new heart. Now, unfortunately, he did not tend toward that new heart. He tended to the old heart of putting himself up as more important and putting himself up in the fore instead of God, and it cost him the kingdom, it cost him his life and the lives of his sons as well. A little sidetrack. But the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us this new nature. And as I said last week, we were not at war when we were lost. There was no war going on inside. We just did what we thought we wanted to do, and it was really what our old nature, what sin was tempting us to do, and we did it. But once we become Christians, we are given a new heart, and the battle begins. And boy, oh boy, does it begin between our old nature and our new nature, our sinful nature, and the nature that God has given us. So to begin with, let me stress, as you read this, our bodies are not evil. This is an ancient heresy, that matter was evil and spirit was good. This is not scriptural. That's not what the Bible teaches. The body was created good in the image of God. It is not an evil thing in itself, but what we choose to do with it is very evil. And the motivation behind our decisions, we are responsible for. And that's what Paul has been talking about as he goes through description of the old and new nature. So with that understanding and your basic Greek 101 lesson, sarx can be translated flesh, but in this sense, with one exception, it should be translated as the old nature. So we get to that first verse, which is just magnificent. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's what he says after this plea he made at the end of chapter 7. No condemnation. And he also says a very strange thing that I think we have to look at closely, that verse 3, God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, the old nature, the sinful nature, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Now, here, one sense flesh is the body, because Jesus came in physical form. But right next to it, it's the other sense of sinful nature. Jesus Christ came into this world in a physical body, and he also came with a totally spiritual nature. He didn't have an old nature. He didn't have a sinful nature to be overcome. So he showed up on this earth in a physical body that, again, in itself was not evil, but he suffered because he was in a physical body. He suffered the emotions that we have. He suffered the pain and the distress. He had all the emotions we have, and yet he did not sin. He did not have that old attitude that we have that wants our way, not God's way. Christ came, and he was totally God, totally man. He was perfect. He became the perfect sacrifice. And all of this is really illuminated in the book of Hebrews. We're not going to go off there, believe me. But Jesus Christ came in a physical body but had no sinful nature. That's the way it worked. It's a miracle. And that's what enabled him to be among us, to teach us, to produce miracles with other people, and to give himself as a willing sacrifice for our sins. And he was the perfect sacrifice without blemish, not just physical blemish, without sin in himself. And that sacrifice made everything different for you and me. No more need of any other sacrifices. No more need to try to impress God. Simply accept what has been done on our behalf. Jesus Christ provides freedom from sin that the law could not provide. And here Paul is going back to that whole section he talked about. The law was not sinful, but in being aware of the law, we chose to sin. Once we knew what was right and wrong, we chose wrong. And there was no power to break that until Christ came. And Jesus provides freedom from sin that the law could not provide. Remember, he said, no, we're upholding the law. I'm not changing that. What's changing is you're free from the consequences. You're free from enslavement to that. You get a new nature. My spirit will dwell within you. And you can say no. And you can say yes. That's the struggle that's going on within us. Consequently, Paul is saying in these first verses, we live according to our new nature and not the old. We can choose. We're no longer a slave to an evil master, but we're slaves to righteousness. We can choose to do what is right. And as I said last week, the more we choose what is right and good and pleasing to God, the easier it becomes to do that the next time. The more we choose not to, the greater peril we're putting our own souls. So we're going to get to that. First, our bodies are not evil. Secondly, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Thirdly, there's a contrast in how we live between the old and new natures. Set their minds on. This is what Paul is saying. Verse 5, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, sinful nature. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Your intent in life has changed when you become a Christian. Our intent in life is different. It is no longer, I've just got to take care of myself. I don't care what happens to everybody else. I'm going to take care of myself. And instead, with this new spirit and new nature, what is best for that person? What is best for that person? I will deny myself this to enable that person to have that, as Jesus Christ did. He did not cling to this life. He did not cling to his throne in heaven. He was the ultimate example of a servant who did for others what they could not do for themselves. And that's what Paul is saying, that we set our minds on righteousness. We set our intent on doing what God would have us do, to love others as he has loved us, to forgive as he has forgiven us, to hope when others don't have hope. There is that contrast between the old and the new nature. The old nature, the sinful nature, leads to death, spiritual death. We're going to get to that a little more in the next point. But that leads to spiritual death. One leads to life and peace. Setting our minds on the old nature, the sinful nature, thinking about only that, actually means that we don't really know Jesus Christ. If we're choosing to constantly walk in a way that is displeasing to God, something is not right. We may say we're Christians. We may say we've been born again. But if our life does not show this change of heart, something is badly wrong. And on the other hand, when we say that we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we walk according to his ways, not perfectly, but walk according to his ways, truly it is obvious to those who see us that there's something different about our focus in life. The old sinful nature is hostile to God, Paul says. It is disobedient to God. It is not submissive to God. The new nature given to us by Christ results in humble obedience, love, life, and peace. This is the war explained. It's not a duality of the cosmos. It is just what's happening in our own lives. Old nature, new nature, at war with one another. And if we live by the old nature, we cannot please God. If we live by the new nature, God is very pleased. Again, it's not salvation by works. It's not that that pleases God. What pleases God is that we have totally surrendered ourselves to him and have voluntarily made him our master. And him alone we want to please and honor, not to gain points, but simply because we love him. Again, we heard in worship, we love God because he first loved us. We love other people because God has first loved us. Now, what Paul is really getting to now in the second part of this paragraph that I'm going to read now is who we are as Christians. Verse 9. You, however, are not in the sinful nature, flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. This is phase two of the struggle and the battle that's going on within us. Now, this is Greek 101 lesson 2. There is a Greek word that Paul uses deliberately here for body. And it is not sarx. It is somas, which really does mean this tangible physical body. It's not anything that's evil. But he acknowledges in this part that this body is going to die because of the effects of sin. But the glorious truth that he attaches to that is that this body, though it will die and decay, is going to be raised again because the body of Jesus Christ was raised again. And again, as Christians, unlike every other religion in the world, we believe in a physical resurrection of the body because that's what happened with Jesus, and we're promised that is what will happen to us. In God's time, in his way, as we wait, as we hear in the series of sermons we've been having, God will do that. So old nature, sinful nature, new nature, walking in the Spirit. But the sin has its effect on this body. That's why it does die. No matter how holy we are, no matter how much we are attuned to Christ and God, we will die. This body will cease to exist in a tangible physical form, but it will be raised again at the last day. We belong to Jesus Christ. His Spirit is within us, and our physical body, though it dies because of sin, will rise again because of the work of Jesus Christ. So all of this hopefully gives us a better understanding of the war that is taking place in us. I intended to do that, but I didn't. Or I knew I shouldn't have done that, and I did. Well, we don't want to deliberately disobey God. But that old nature still exerts itself. Though in the biggest picture, it's already been conquered. It's dead. It has no power. And yet we have this struggle, as Paul did. The only human being who did not have this struggle was Adam before the fall and Jesus Christ. No other exceptions. But this is who we are as Christians. So the spiritual battle continues within us. And there are heresies that have abounded throughout the ages where people will say, well, I'm a Christian now. I can't sin, so I do whatever I want. So bad, so destructive. I'm a Christian now, so I do what God wants me to do. I obey the words of Christ. I seek to honor him in what he did and what he said. Listen, this is the good news. Romans 8, 1 through 11. The war being explained. The spiritual battle continues within us, but the war has already been won. That gives us comfort and hope and peace. As we struggle in our own bodies, in our own minds, with our old sinful nature, we know things are not as they should be, but we eagerly strive to be more and more like Jesus Christ. We have to remember, we are at battle, but the overall war has been finished. When Christ rose from the dead, it was finished. Satan knew his end had been determined. And you and I live in that in-between time. We're still fighting these skirmishes in our own hearts and lives. But never forget, the war has already been won. So there's no place for despair. There's no place to give up. There's no place to say, well, there's no hope. No. The war has been won. Christ has done his work. He is victorious. We struggle at times. But we don't ever need to despair. Paul spoke about this when he wrote to the church in Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. But we have this treasure that God has given us in Christ in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. To know Christ is to know victory. Do not despair. Do not think it's hopeless. Yes, the struggles are real, and they are difficult, and they don't seem to cease. But the war has already been won. And in Jesus Christ, we are secure, we are safe, we have freedom, we have life, peace, joy, because of the new nature he's given to us. The unusual event happened this week. So I was preparing this. The tune of the hymn came to mind, and I could not think of the words to the hymn to look it up. So I run out of my study and go up to Carolyn, and the first thing I say is, da 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 da. And she says, yeah, yeah, what is that? And I said, well, that's what you need to tell me. On the way back to the study, it hit me. And maybe some of you, even with my poor voice, know what it is. The hymn is, The strife is o'er, the battle done. This is so rich. The strife is o'er, the battle done. The victory of life is won. The song of triumph has begun. Alleluia. The powers of death have done their worst, but Christ their legions hath dispersed. Let shouts of holy joy outburst. Alleluia. The three sad days have quickly sped. He rises glorious from the dead. All glory to our risen head. Alleluia. He closed the yawning gates of hell. The bars from heaven's high portals fell. Let hymns of praise his triumphs tell. Alleluia. Lord, by the stripes which wounded thee, from death's dread sting, thy servants free, that we may live and sing to thee. Alleluia. Yeah, we've got battles, but the war has been won. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you that the truth of your word lets us know that what is taking place within us is to be expected. And protect us from that temptation that our enemy wants to place daily before us, that we are not worth your love, that we have failed once again, that we have disobeyed and don't deserve anything at all. And instead remind us of this truth that Paul so clearly states. We have a new nature. We have your spirit. You know the struggles we have, and the war has been won. So give us strength, Lord, to continue the fight with our own old nature, and your spirit wrestles with our spirit to do what is right and good. And then we'll continue to submit ourselves to you and not to the world, to the powers of other gods that want to draw us away from you. Grant, Lord, that we will not only be faithful, but that we'll be hopeful people, that we will look forward to the future and what we will do as we wait upon you, as we fight our battles, knowing that all is finished and completed in you already, and we simply wait for your return. Thank you. Thank you for this life we have in Christ. Help us to use it to bring honor to your name. It is in the name of Christ we ask. Amen.